Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
We were having a conversation yesterday about the wide receivers, but today's a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And there were some comments that I think got, I don't want to say they got under your skin, big guy, but they made you think about the wide receiver position. Because Josh and I have had this position of, we're kind of over Romeo Doubs. He's got it. Yes, he serves a specific purpose, I think, on this team. In the way that some of the other wide receivers have been playing, you don't need to give him as many targets as he was getting earlier this season. And again, I think you saw how well the offense functioned on Thanksgiving. And Romeo Doubs certainly had a role in that, but he wasn't the go-to guy. It's not like they were force-feeding him targets in that game. He had a role, but it was a, I would say, diminished role. Is that fair? That he had a diminished role on Thanksgiving with his four catches on four targets?
Mm-hmm.
Compare that to Dontavian Wicks, who had seven targets, Christian Watson had 10 targets, and the Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving. But there were a lot of people, whether it was on the Carblues Talking text line or the YouTube chat, that were standing up for Romeo Doubs, and that miffed you. That confused you, big guy.
Well, he's should I say a nice player?
He's nice.
Is he a good player? But he's a possession receiver.
Is good
receiver.
Better than nice?
I don't know, Josh.
I think nice is an upgrade from good.
Oh, so he's a good receiver? Look, he is a whatever receiver.
Actually, I think I got the backwards. Nice is lower than good.
Yeah,
nice,
that's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's a nice player.
But, and I thought his numbers would actually be lower because I asked you, where does he stand right now in the league when it comes to just being a receiver? And it's about 45.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he's 45th in receptions. I think he's like 43rd in targets, 44th in receiving yards.
That's a good receiver. Right?
Yeah.
But he feels to me more like, and you said James Jones is a comparison.
Yeah.
It's just so hard.
Because again,
he doesn't do anything great.
Yeah.
He does a bunch of things good or nice, right? But I was talking to you in the break because we were talking about, well, they're going to have some decisions to make, especially next year. I really think they want to do receiver by committee and they don't want to pay Amon St. Brown or a Justin Jefferson because, look, Doubs goes down, right? He goes down?
Yeah.
Who cares? Throwing Golden. Throwing Reed, you know? St. Brown goes down? Well, there goes a big part of your offense. I think this is just the way they want to do things. I think they want to pay a bunch of receivers $13 million.
But you can't do that either.
I'm just saying. Because you're going to have to pay Tucker Kraft, and I think Tucker Kraft was, you know, slowly becoming the number one receiver.
Yeah. But it's not like you
and they'll pay him.
Sure.
But I don't think they want to pay a receiver $35 million a year just because of injury. And then the drop off is so big with the next guy coming in. We will see, Gabe, how this plays out the rest of the season because we'll know that, hey.
If they had somebody as good as Justin Jefferson, I think they would pay him. Because I think you probably, if we would have sat here last year, you probably would have said, well, on the defensive side, you know, they're just going to do pass rusher by committee. They don't want to pay a guy. And then all of a sudden, Mike Parsons came available and they paid him.
But they can't pay him now. You got to pay Kraft. Kraft is going to get $20 million, $21
million. Yeah.
You can't go free agents. Not with Micah Parsons being paid like a quarterback.
You could.
I don't.
You look at what the Eagles have done. Look at what the Lions have done. They've paid a lot of their guys.
I don't think they can. And I don't think they will. I don't think they want to.
The Lions have paid their quarterback. The Lions have paid two of their wide receivers. They've paid offensive line, and they have paid defensive line and a safety, I believe.
Looking back right now, would you have given Devontae the $22 million he got this year based upon his numbers this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying. I just don't
really
think they want to do it. Goody's got a plan, and that's not part of his plan. Right?
But again, if Matthew Golden, because he's the only one at this point, I think, that could develop into something. I mean, and he's not, I mean, Justin Jefferson, you knew Justin Jefferson was who he was right away. But in terms of developing into something, like if Matthew Golden develops into a top five wide receiver, they're not letting him walk out the door.
There's something that's
they're going to pay him.
There's just something there that's got me perplexed, very perplexed.
Well, because
when it comes to Matthew Golden, because you were right. You talked about it yesterday. All the hype in training camp, mm-hmm. all this, Canada. And then you get to the season, and don't come at me. I'm just making an evaluation here. He's done nothing.
Yeah, next to nothing.
He's done nothing.
Yeah.
So why aren't the two jiving?
Because I think they were giving too many targets to Romeo earlier. And again, Josh said it yesterday. Give Matthew Golden, when healthy, and who knows if he's going to be healthy. We'll find out more today when they practice, get an injury report to see if he's out there, as he's dealing with a wrist injury that's kept him out now. But if you gave him more opportunities, I think the offense would look better.
Well, why don't they give him more opportunities?
Because
they learn every lesson the hard way. I've been saying it for months.
Why did they put Anthony Belton at right guard earlier?
Because we didn't think he was very good. You know?
It's because they have their guys, they get locked into them, and then they learn maybe this isn't the best decision. It was apparent in training camp that Carrington Valentine needed to be on the field.
But hold on.
Snap.
Yes, I agree. But back to Golden, in what gives me a little pause, I mean, was it the Luke Musgrave gush of 2025?
Sure, but I think he's better than Musgrave. Again, because...
Well, why aren't the two translating, though? That's what I don't
throw
understand.
Throw him the football. Because even when the dude's open, you throw him the football.
I know, but Gabe, it's easy to say that, but when you're the third read in Jordan Reed's... Jordan Love's having one of those games where he's not set in. Sometimes you can't get to the
then
third read.
Then make him the number one option more
often. I agree with you. I agree. And I said, remind you real quick... 45 receptions, you didn't want to buy it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even think he's going to get the 45.
No, he won't.
And that to me is a error in the play caller. That's a guy not realizing what they have, that not using what they have.
I'm with you.
There is certainly more to be gotten out of that. We're so uncertain right now. We can't have an opinion. Is he good or bad?
Yeah.
They haven't thrown him the ball enough. They haven't given him enough opportunity. Every time he is targeted, it seems to go well.
And you know, I said it yesterday or the day before. I'm like, I don't know what the Bears are. You know what? I really don't know what the Packers are.
No.
What if they lose this game? Where are we at? Where are we at? Where are we at?
Batting the hatches. We're in trouble.
Are we like again?
Yeah, they're a touchdown favorite, Chew.
No, I know they were, but I'm sure they were more against Carolina, and I'm sure they were more against the Browns.
I think it was similar against the Browns, around 7.5.
So
and a half,
I don't know.
Because it was
I
a mean, road game.
In my mind, I'm like, okay, now, because I talk about it all the time, there comes a part in the season where you got to start getting hot, stacking mm-hmm. wins.
Oh,
I'm
we're there.
That happens.
We're there.
But if it doesn't happen, then it's like, well, where are we back to now?
Yeah,
because home field hasn't exactly been, hey, walk in the door. I mean, they should have swag after what happened last week, right? A little bit of swag.
You would think so. And hopefully that reflects.
Yeah.
In the game on Sunday. To have that swagger going in with that confidence,
yeah.
with the way that the offense was able to operate, with the way the defense was flying around making plays, with Micah Parsons leading the way.
We should know after this game, though, what they are. Well, we should know what both teams are. Unless it's a 10-7 game and we're like, I'm exhausted.
Well, but that's the problem. Like, I don't know if you can say definitively who anyone in the NFL is right now. And this might be the latest in the season that you could do this.
Do we know what New England is? Is New England simply we're waiting for Drake May to implode?
I think, well, you know what? I will agree with you there. New England is a really good football team who is going to be a problem in the future, but I think they're going to
have growing pains.
Have a growing pain in the postseason this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
get to the postseason and have one of those D coordinators really figure out a plan to stop him, and then everything changes. We see it all the time. When they really hone in on that singular opponent that they got to defeat, we see those young guys crumble every time.
So let me ask you this. Packers win the division. Who's a possibility in that first home game? San Fran.
So they would, they'd probably be the two or the three. So, yes.
It wouldn't be the Eagles, would it? Would it be the Eagles?
I mean, if the Eagles.
It could be.
Like, I do not want to play the Eagles again.
I can't imagine the East having two teams. Like, if it's not the Eagles, I think the Eagles are out and the Cowboys just won the division straight up.
So, San Fran, Seattle?
So, yeah, San Fran, Seattle, Detroit, or Chicago.
Do you want to play Seattle at home?
I'd be okay with playing Seattle at home.
Yeah, I don't want to play Seattle.
I think you're going to, Sam Darnold in a big game? Yeah, sign me up.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm fine with Tampa
Give
Bay.
Give me them.
Yeah,
please.
But you would not, if you win the division, you would not play Tampa Bay because they're another division winner.
Yeah.
So you would not be playing Tampa Bay. But I would do cartwheels to play Tampa Bay in the postseason.
Yes, I would too. Yeah.
But they're going to win their division.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to find out. Hopefully we find out. But they've got some issues that they certainly need to figure out. It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but I want to tell you, my friends, at Connie's, because they deliver pizzeria taste without the pizzeria prices, and it's BOGO right now at Pick and Save, so it's even better. Cornmeal dusted crust, natural premium ingredients that you're going to enjoy the pizzeria experience from your home oven. So get to Pick and Save and stock up. And this isn't just like a one-week thing. No, you've got almost 2 weeks to take advantage. The BOGO right now is December 3rd through the 16th. December 3rd through the 16th for Connie's. Buy one, get one at Pick and Save right now and enjoy that pizzeria taste without those pizzeria prices.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. ESPN.com has a new list out. They do this every year. Matt Bowen is the one who puts it out, and we'll get to more on Matt Bowen just a little bit as he was on Wilde and Tausch. On their show yesterday. But every year he puts out a list on ESPN.com, the NFL best players at different skills, like very specific skills. Chew, just for example, you know, for the quarterback position, most accurate passer, strongest arm, best deep ball thrower, things of that nature. So he has 109 skills here.
Bless you.
How many Packers do you think ended up on this list?
Just Romeo Doubs.
What skill?
I'm gonna.
What specific skill do you think Romeo ended up with?
Best helmet hat. I'm gonna say Micah. I'm going to say Jordan's probably on it. Maybe Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney.
So you got two of the three that are on the list for the Packers.
So Micah and
no Jordan Love.
Okay.
Which I thought was a little interesting.
It's silly.
Where would he fit though?
Well, so they say most creative passer / off platform, and he gave that to Caleb Williams.
What?
And I feel like Jordan, especially because this was talked about, I think Aiden Hutchinson talked about this after the game. Like, the way Jordan can drift back in the pocket and throw off of platform while doing so has been one of his best skills. Now, I have criticized him at times for doing it too much because there have been times, like last year, he probably relied on that a little too much because he didn't have full confidence in his knee to kind of step up and navigate the pocket. Now, he's been much better this year, and it's a skill that certainly helps him evade rushes.
Yes.
I think it was most evident in the game-winning throw he made to Dontavian Wicks on Thanksgiving, where he can kind of drift back to give himself just that split-second extra time and be able to throw without a solid base and still get something on the ball and still be accurate with it. So I think Jordan Again, I haven't watched every single Bears game this season. I've watched a fair amount. I would have put Jordan Love ahead of Caleb Williams in the off-platform category.
I think that's where he improved the most. Because he had a real nice one against Detroit where he went up, then back, then moved.
Whatever you think Caleb Williams does best, Jordan Love does it better.
Yes.
That's just a simple fact at this point.
Anything else? Not most accurate, not strongest arm, not the best deep. His timing and touch isn't horrible.
No.
Huh?
Does have weird moments, like the start of that Detroit game.
Yeah, that was a little wonky.
He spiked it for some reason.
Yeah.
And a wide receiver just open wide open. And just 5 yards short of him crossing.
Luckily, we don't see that much. It was one of those things that really made you go, huh, what was that?
What was that?
Yeah.
I don't know if he short-armed it, it slipped, something went weird.
Especially when it happens in a dome, like it catches your... Like, if something like that happened, Joshy, on this Sunday, it's a little cold, it's a little windy. Uh-huh. Sure, the ball gets a little slick, it can slip out of the hand. In a dome, in play number three, that was interesting.
This is another skill I have.
Okay.
It's another, I don't know if it... It's probably OCD, ACD, ABC. I want you to scroll down to best pocket poise. Just go down there real quick and tell me what's wrong with that.
Well, yeah, there's a Packers logo next to Drake May's name.
Yes.
There were a couple of those on this list where they had the wrong logo with the wrong player.
Okay. All right. Maybe he got runner-up to that. Who knows?
I was going to say, do you think they changed some last minute and those didn't get adjusted?
I don't know how that happens. Packers, Patriots, maybe it's just that the logos are close enough.
Yes.
You know, like you're scrolling down on the selection menu and you accidentally click Packers when Patriots is right there. I don't know. Most decisive rusher is Josh Jacobs, which I think makes sense.
Dude
puts his foot in the ground and he can go. So that makes a ton of sense to me. As you mentioned, Micah Parsons is on this list with the best skill that he has, fastest closing speed to quarterback.
Yes.
Which, don't think anybody's going to argue. I don't think anybody can argue the way that he chases
down
quarterbacks.
He's the fastest player on the Packers defense.
And that's it for Packers?
And then there's one more.
So it wasn't McKinney?
It was not McKinney. It is on that side of the football, though.
Think of the other guy on the defense who sometimes can provide you with wow plays.
Been underperforming, I would say, this season. Has not stood out as much this year as he did a year.
Was big last week.
Well, 33 was nice.
Yeah, Evan Williams, but he is not on this list.
He comes up. I love how he fills. You know?
He's going to be the guy we're all talking about as, whoa, this guy is in all pro conversations really fast.
So you said better year last year than this year?
You bring up Evan Williams.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a huge game for the Packers, especially in the run game. I think he's got to be that defender you talk about filling. I think he's got to be that extra defender in the box for them against the Bears. But no, it is not Evan Williams.
On that side of the ball, you said better year last year than this year?
Yep.
Quay? No?
You're getting warmer. Man, already forgot about Edgerrin Cooper.
Yeah.
Oh, better year last year. Okay, what did he make it as?
Most rangy on the second level.
Yeah, he's rangy.
Cooper has the run and hit traits to patrol the edges of the run game, plus he has the range to cover ground as a zone defender.
Yeah. But I would agree better year last year.
Too many missed tackles this year.
Yeah.
But the athleticism's still there. He's getting into the right spots a lot. He just needs to, you know, finish the play like he did last year.
What these linebackers aren't going to like is Wyatt being gone. Because that's going to put more stress on them.
Well, again, it's going to be... I'm worried about it because...
Well, you're worried about it because the only way they could beat the Eagles is to run the ball, and the Eagles knew that, and they still couldn't stop it.
Correct.
So that's... That gives me pause.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's the same way. Like the Packers, the only way the Bears win this game on Sunday is if they run the ball efficiently and shorten the game.
Yeah.
If you shut down that run game,
I
don't think Caleb Williams is going to beat you.
Yeah.
But that's, as we just saw, with them putting up 281 yards against the Eagles, that's easier said than done. But that is the only way, in my mind, the Bears win this game on Sunday, is if they're able to run the ball. Again, they don't have to run it for 281 yards.
Well,
I doubt they run it for 281 yards. But if they get to the 140s, that's going to make life awfully difficult for the Packers.
Yeah, it's like I said yesterday. I said it's really not going to come down to the players. I said yesterday it's going to be LaFleur can't let Johnson outcoach him. It's kind of on the other side of the ball, too. Because they got a gaping hole in that. Who do you trust more, LaFleur or Heffley?
So it's funny. John Anderson said something yesterday on the Homer Hour that was really funny to me and made perfect sense when it comes to Matt LaFleur.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that when Matt LaFleur's back is against the wall and he doesn't have his full complement of players, and we've seen this over a number of years, whether it's Davante Adams in his early days, whether it was Jordan Love last year, whether it was Josh Jacobs against the Minnesota Vikings, it seems like whenever he is shorthanded, he's at his best.
Yeah. Yeah, going back to when he lost Davante.
Yeah. Like they were like 7-0 without Davante.
Yeah.
It was insane. That the game plans that he would come up with Aaron Rodgers to be able to cover up for missing one of the best receivers in football.
Well, you know what that smells of? You know what it smells of, Gabe? Gets too many guys involved.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So now when he gets all the compliments involved, well, how do I keep everyone in this? How do I keep everybody happy? It seems like he just gets paralyzed by the decision of how do I best operate with everybody here? It's almost like they're better if they have a couple of guys out.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a point on point. John Anderson said that yesterday on the Homer Hour. I thought it was perfect.
Would you be shocked if all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Christian Watson only had 3 targets in this game, and Romeo Doubs went up to 6, 7, 8 again?
But
this is why, going back to the conversation we just had about the wide receivers, Josh, this is why I wish they would just go, hey, you are our guys. You have proven it. You're the ones who are getting these opportunities.
Well, that's why I want to see what they do with Wicks, whether they feed him or... All right, you had your game. Let's spread it around and go to someone else.
And I understand game plans kind of dictate different things, right, Chu? Like, you went through that. Like, some teams were better at covering tight ends. Mm-hmm. Other teams weren't. So you kind of... But you were still going to be, going into any given game, one of the guys.
And also the difference is good players and players who can really make a difference, it doesn't matter who their usual opponent would be because you move them around in the formation.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, they'll beat almost everyone,
mm-hmm.
but they also beat everyone because they're in the slot, they're outside, they're motioning, they're moving, you're bringing them from different places.
They're using that piece to target whatever your weakness is because they're that good.
Where are the Bears ranked defensively? Middle of the pack?
Bottom third.
Yeah.
Really?
I believe they are 25th in points, 27th
Tons
in yards.
Tons of turnovers, and they are ripe for regression when it comes to that. For those to stop happening and their team to sort of see the adverse effects of it.
What's crazy is...
I believe they're plus 17 and leading the league in turnovers.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
So they forced 26 turnovers, tops in the league.
Yeah.
It seems almost impossible that you would have that many turnovers and somehow you've still given up the 25th most points in the NFL. It seems impossible. Have that many turnovers, you should be a top 10 defense.
Is Marshawn Lloyd's not back, right?
No, they just they designated him for
return. Don't give him the ball.
Well, he's not going to be playing.
I'm just saying, it smells of Savion Williams, with the fumble earlier in the year.
Like, this dude, but this dude hasn't played.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Cold weather, hasn't been hit.
They're not going to activate him.
Okay.
Just checking. Just like when they opened up the practice window for Jaden Reed.
Yes.
They're not going to make him active for the game.
Yeah.
And as good as those 3 running backs have been playing, I don't know if they make him active for the season. I don't know what Marshawn Lloyd's role would be because everybody else has a role.
Yeah.
I think you slow play it until he's absolutely
when
needed.
The game's in hand.
No, I'm saying if there's injuries.
Yes.
Then you see him.
If there's an injury over the next 3 weeks.
Probably healthy and active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over the next 3 weeks, they're going to run the clock out on him and not activate him to the 53 until they absolutely have to.
Okay.
Because, again, you love Josh Jacobs. They really love Emmanuel Wilson. And Josh's guy, Chris Brooks, has a role on this team.
Mm-hmm.
They all have defined roles. And I don't know what that role would be for Marshawn Lloyd. So I don't think he would ultimately get it.
Do you think they'd ever... I guess it's too far gone with Lloyd. But the obvious flip-flop would be you just take out Wilson and add in Lloyd.
Well, I think that's probably a plan for next year.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy. You got to show me something.
It's a big part of it, big guy. That's a big part of it.
He's been active and available for like 2 weeks of his NFL career.
Like, he's played, I think, six snaps. I think that's it.
Didn't he fumble out of bounds in one of those?
I think he did.
Yeah.
But again, this is what happens when you don't play football for the better part of 2 years.
Especially in the cold.
Looking for a new car, truck, or SUV? Now is the time to buy because Ewald Automotive Group's year-end sale is here. They're saying yes to the lowest prices of the year on over 1,500 new and pre-owned vehicles. Yes to 0% financing. Yes to maximum trade values. And yes to no payments until 2026. It's the Ewald year-end sale. It's going on now through, well, you guessed it, the year's end. Go to ewaldauto.com. Credit on select models. Interest accrues from date of purchase. Expires month end.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog. The old corn dog. The corn dog for the
birthday. Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone on their birthday.
It's so good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Again, the fine folks at Tony Wendorf and Associates, they believe in the human side of real estate. Get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com. I know we talked about this a little bit, but now it's starting to make its rounds once again, especially because the Packers are going to be home this week. But going back to last week when Jason had asked after the press conference was over and then Jeff Hafley stayed there, asked Hafley about Micah Parsons closing out games and the lesson that Hafley taught Micah Parsons about Mariano Rivera. How Mo, obviously the best closer of all time, Major League Baseball history with the Yankees, and he had the famous theme song of Enter Sandman by Metallica. And I don't know if Hafley was joking or if he's, yeah, that'd be awesome if they played that at Lambeau. When your coach suggests something like that, does the team have an obligation to follow through?
No.
If the Packers are winning going into the fourth quarter and the team's on defense to start the fourth quarter, do you play Enter Sandman?
No. Well, yeah, you do, but they're not going to do it. I mean, we even requested music back in the day.
Sure.
Right? Just based upon going to other stadiums, yeah, right? Because some stadiums are awesome. Like, man, their music is so good here. In Green Bay, being middle of the country and small town USA, they want to stick with Go Pack Go. And what's the touchdown? Eddie Hengren or whatever his name is? Mike Lundgren?
Yep. What? Dolph Lundgren.
What's the song? Me and Joshy changed it, tried to change it last year.
Yeah, but you guys
to
also,
a much better song.
You guys decided, you guys picked like the worst song you could have possibly
How
picked.
How is that the worst song?
Bow with the Bah after a touchdown?
Song rock.
What is the song?
It is Bang on the Drum by Todd Rundgren.
Yeah.
I do believe they have modernized a bit. You still get the classic Packers stuff, but I believe the music has seen. I remember going.
Well, look,
where do you think they would rank in the NFL if they did
the
a ranking of best music played at NFL stadiums?
I mean,
where would they be?
They play jock jams like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. Like it's the 1990s.
Where would they be? Who
they would
be
at the bottom? I don't think there's a worse option.
Well, and here's the problem. If I'm sitting here and I'm going, hey, they should play Enter Sandman, it's not like that modernizes the music at all.
No, not even a bit.
Because Enter Sandman
that's probably 40 years old.
Yeah, it's...
But it's a classic.
But again, I think that's a song that would get people going. I think it would be something that you could add to the traditions of Lambeau Field with.
Sure.
Like you think of, I mean, past Todd Rundgren, past Go Pack Go, add another layer to that. Like if you take Camp Randall, for example, like, yeah, they have Jump Around, obviously, going into the fourth quarter, and that's the big one.
Yes.
But they've got other songs that they play that the student section will, well, when the students actually go to the games.
Build Me Up Buttercup.
There's another one that they do. But they sing along with all the different songs, right? Like there's other traditions outside of that. So you can have more than just one thing at a football game. I think of how everyone gets fired up at Pittsburgh when they play Renegade and how that's kind of their rallying cry.
It got booed last week.
Well, when you got 110 yards of offense.
Will it ever change or no? Will it ever change that the music has not changed since I played, and I played pushing 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Will it ever change?
I mean, at this point, I have to lean towards no, don't I? Like, I mean, eventually it has to change.
Has it evolved
you would
at
have
all?
Thought,
I haven't been to a game in I don't know how many years.
I went to a game for the first time as a fan since 2010 last year, but obviously I've covered a bunch of games, so it was probably the first time I was in Lambeau Field in 3 years. I did not notice much of a difference.
Do they still play closing time?
No, they don't play closing time.
Okay.
But I think they came out when they announced the starters. I think they played the like the song from the 90s that they always played.
Oh, that's still there?
Yeah, I think that's what they came out to.
Okay.
That's what they came out to, I believe.
That's like, awesome.
Because I remember going, man, they haven't really updated anything on this playlist. But
is it because there's a lot of Germans around here and they're stubborn as ever and just stubborn?
What are you taking a shot at my people for?
Well, I'm just saying, you would fully admit that you're stubborn.
Sure.
Me and Josh came up one song. Great. If you polled the players, they would say yes. What do you think they would say if they polled the players?
Yeah, I think they would say yes.
I mean, people still get precious about the players not doing the Lambeau Leap.
They get mad?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a buddy who gets real mad about the Lambeau. Like, has texted me. Texted me after every game.
Never done
and,
it.
And, like, has texted me stats. Uh-huh. I think there's only been, like, 2 Lambeau Leaps this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Never done it. Didn't want to give you guys any material.
But here's the thing.
What?
Were you worried about not getting up?
And some sections of the wall. Yeah. No, it's more about busting your ass on the concrete
before.
What? Some of those jumps that Robert made.
Oh, Robert,
like,
yeah.
He went from where he launched from to avoid the concrete.
You know who can't
unbelievable.
Jump?
Who can't jump?
Yeah.
From your era?
Yes.
Free?
No.
Biebs.
Leroy.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's a lyric in the song.
Yeah. Oh, so he stuck to the wall like Velcro?
There we go. Jump in the stands, Robert Brooks song from 1995.
Yeah. So they're never evolving. You just got to live with it.
Wait, so, but here's the thing. You have sent me videos from your high school days as a basketball player.
Yeah, it's sick ups.
You could get up.
It was more the concrete.
You were just scared?
Before, because you have 7 studs on,
yeah,
which are very slick. You might as well have ice skates, and I was just worried about, you know.
Also, you were carrying boulders on your shoulders with how big the shoulder pads used to be.
Yeah, they were beefy. But there are sections of the wall that are very accessible.
And I was at the game that the touchdown ultimately didn't count, but the touchdown that Tausch scored.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah, but it got called back. It got called back. I will see if I can find it. He did a Lambeau leap, but he went to a section of the wall that was low.
I did see that.
Yeah. It wasn't so much a Lambeau leap as it was a Lambeau tumble.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite Lambeau leaps of all time because Tausch scored a touchdown, did it. But did they have that low section when you were playing?
Yeah, it was like probably 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know the craziest thing?
Why didn't you go after that one and jump in the stands over there?
Because that's kind of weak, right?
And this guy's like pretends he's got standards, Josh.
That's kind of weak. You know the scary thing was when we played in County Stadium? They would never allow this today. The wall was literally 1 foot from the end
in the corner of the end zone. It's not great.
That had liability written all over
it. When they played at Wrigley Field for the first time in a bowl game, they literally decided, we can't use that half, and would like...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They'd get over the 50 and turn around.
And flip it, and you'd have to go back the other way.
Yeah, I do remember
that. Because it was dangerous, because it turns out you shouldn't be that close.
Especially since now they've solved that. Did they move the wall or did they orient the field a different way?
I'm guessing they oriented the field a different way.
Right, because I feel like we'd know if Wrigley changed definitively.
I mean, because Wrigley Field has shrunk over the years in terms of they brought in like closer to the foul lines because the bullpens used to be down the foul lines, but in order to add seats, they made that tighter down the lines.
Well, it's crazy to look at Dodger Stadium as opposed to a new stadium. Huh. How much room there is.
In foul territory.
Yeah.
Used to be that way at Oakland Coliseum, too.
That was a turd hole. Holy cow.
That's why the A's wanted to get out of Dodge, and they didn't get out of Dodge. If you're looking for the early gift of basketball, we got good news for you. This holiday season, buy tickets for the Milwaukee Hoops Showdown. It takes place Friday, December 19th, featuring Wisconsin at Villanova at 7 p.m. And UW-Milwaukee takes on South Dakota State at 4. Two big men's basketball games, one electric night, all under one roof. Check off that holiday list and get your tickets now at FiserForum.com/showdown. FiserForum.com/showdown. Or just be caller 5 right now. Caller 5 right now wins two tickets to watch Hoops Friday, December 19th, as part of the Milwaukee Basketball Showdown. Caller 5, 800-990-3776. Good luck.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it
says. I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what I say, happy wife, happy life, and that usually means a visit to my guy Dino, the Dancing Machino at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when that day comes for my four boys to take their next step in their lives, you can bet they'll be heading into the Jewelry Center for their engagement ring. The Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for the rings. Plus, you always hear how Gabe went to the Jewelry Center and had a great experience with the Jewelry Center specialist to pick out that perfect ring. Stop into one of their three locations today, Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington today, or check out the full inventory online at shoptjc.com. You notice how he waited till the very last segment. He let the clock basically run out, wanted me to kick a 58-yarder to win the game, and yeah. I split the upright.
Just nailed it. Because he knows, Josh, he knows, at the end of the day, you're a primetime player.
Okay.
You perform under pressure.
Fair. When Josh, lights, is that true?
When the lights are brightest, Chewy comes out.
No. He wanted me to fail. He wanted me to fail bad.
Is that true?
So he could chuckle. That's why he waited till the last second.
Pete Lesak, I appreciate you thinking I premeditated it that much. It was just the next on my list here. Things we got done. We knocked it out.
He wanted me to would Tony Romo. Tony Romo, not prepared. I came prepared.
Would I have enjoyed your failure? Yes. Did I try and make you fail through extra? No, I did not go out of my way to do that.
Okay. I appreciate it.
I was just scrolling social media. You know what? Today is the 10-year anniversary of?
10 years ago. What's the year? 25?
25, yep. 15? So 2015. Packers were playing on a Thursday night.
Against who?
The Detroit Lions.
Who was the quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers.
For Detroit. Stafford?
Matthew Stafford.
Is it the Hail Mary?
The Hail Mary.
Oh, 10 years Richard old. Rodgers?
Yeah. The Hail Mary's 10 years old today, which is insane to me. I had a buddy who came over, like lived down in the Racine area at the time. He came over to watch that game, left at halftime in disgust.
Really?
Because it was so bad.
Yeah,
it was just so bad. And then the Packers got bailed out by a phantom face mask call on the first Hail Mary attempt to set up the actual Hail Mary attempt. That's one of the sickest throws I've ever seen.
That was crazy. Yeah.
And the least likely player of all of them back there to make that play.
Yeah.
He made it so casually, too. Yes. Like, the way he just, like, flips the hips, turns around, he kind of, like, skips backwards.
Let me ask you this.
To get him into the spot and make the catch.
Would you take Richard Rodgers right now?
No.
Playing tight end.
I've got...
Over Luke Musgrave.
We've got Richard Rodgers coming out of our ears.
He wasn't bad. He wasn't good, but he wasn't bad.
The amount of outs they insisted on throwing him that never once he broke a tackle on.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, that guy was a 2-yard gain and nothing more.
He was the epitome of, if you need 2 yards, he's getting you 2 yards. If you need 4 yards, he's getting you 2 yards. That was Richard Rodgers.
That's awesome.
Except for on that play where he got you 65 yards. Because Aaron Rodgers aired it out. Kind of changed the way people thought about Hail Marys, too, in order to throw them. Try to get some more arc underneath it, give your receiver an opportunity to go high point it.
Well, Rodgers was really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd get it up there. I never really was involved with those. Just one time in college. We had to beat... Miami was playing us last game of the year. Huge letdown game for them. And I was in there and threw it up. Had a chance at it. If we beat them, they were number one in the country.
Yeah.
We lost.
I love how you prefaced it. Huge letdown game for them. Will the Entouch coming up next.